20. I see them.
He's going to pry it out with a gun.
Yeah, they threw it over their shoulder. He's prying it out with his muzzle.
Yeah, he is. He's going to bend that AK.
Was that you and me in 420 when he threw it over his shoulder?
Yeah, the IP guy picked up, threw it back in the truck.
Yep.
Yeah.
Say what, man? He's getting...
Oh! Holy shit,
dude! Holy crap! Dude! Wow!
Okay. Dude. Call somebody. Yep.
Warrior 6, Big Gun 6-2.
Go ahead and call Lancer Mike and inform us.
Big Gun 6-2, it's Lancer Mike.
Roger, be advised. Just got eyes on, you had your militiamen here. They were digging out the 155 round out of the ground. That 155 round has detonated at this time. Vicinity Mike Bravo, 11299972. There's nothing left.
Get Warrior, CP's got a medevac.
Big Gun 6-2, this is Lancer Mike. Roger.
There's nothing left.
Was this friendly forces that had taken that round out of the hole? Over.
Militia volunteers.
Roger. You had four militiamen were attempting to dig a 155 round out of the ground by hand. It detonated underneath of them. It appears that there is literally nothing left at this point.
This is Lancer Mike acknowledged.
Yeah, there's no medevac.
Get Warrior 6. Let's see if he's got any casualties.
Warrior 6, Big Gun 6-2.
Holy shit, dude.
Yeah, that was pretty crazy. I mean, I could have predicted that.
Any Warrior element.
Any Warrior element, this freak Big Gun 6-2.
Big Gun 6-2, this is Warrior 6.
Roger, Warrior 6, do you guys have comms with your militiamen that were working that
IED?
Just trying to confirm if you got any friendly WIA. We can get a medevac out here for them. If not, we can go ahead and disregard.
Hey, Big Gun 6-2, yeah, there are definitely somebody. We're looking at it right now. I don't believe there are any coalition force injuries. But the volunteers were screwing around with the IED, and it looked like it blew.
Roger, that's a firm. I got it all on video. We just happened to be sensors in when they were digging on that thing. Recorder was on. I'll send your S2 the video. Pretty much looked like it vaporized all four dudes that were digging on that 155 round. If you guys do have any additional casualties that were outside the blast radius, maybe caught some shrapnel, just let us know. We'll coordinate a medevac.
Hey, one of those guys is shooting an AK into the air.
6-1, back at radio.
Yeah, he said morning. He's upset about his friend.
Lancer Mike, this is Warrior 6.
Warrior 6, Lancer Mike.
Lancer Mike, this is Warrior 6. Hey, Roger, yeah, we had an IED go off on the volunteers that had pushed forward. Break.
Dude, inshallah.
Dude, I saw that coming a mile away.
Mike Bravo, 11277997923. Break. Looks like we've got two volunteer KIA.
Those dudes are vaporized, man.
Five total. The other three seem to be okay.
What?
More to follow. Over.
Three of them are alive and okay?
Dude, how is that possible?
I don't know. Whoa. I can't believe they survived.
I think they might be misreporting that. I don't see how those dudes could be alive. The four guys who were on top of that thing, they got to be gone, dude. Look at that hole. Yeah, I didn't take good note of what the guys looked like that were actually manipulating the round.
I think the HMFIC was right down there. The guy who was prying it out with his AK. I don't see him anymore, do you? He had like a little vest-looking shirt on.
Well, here's the thing. Like, I saw him pick up like three or four weapons.
Yeah.
American media is a business, and it has a mission. Not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men. and indoctrinate citizens with a capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And it is a good day. This is Sean Kennedy reporting to you from the Internet for Monday, January 28th, 2008. Not 2007, as I said in the previous show. That's right, because every year, whenever we change years, there's always some idiot who cannot seem to get his dates and times correct. And this year, that idiot would be me. Yes, it's true. And I am Sean Kennedy, your host, and you're listening to Newsreel, the Wall Global Sit-Rep on core political tyranny, technology, and trends. For your headspace and timing, Rant Media is taking a stand for free speech today. And just by listening and distributing, key term distributing, this program, you are too. You can follow up on these and all of my news stories by check my facts by going to my live journal. And you can get to my live journal by going to Sean_Kennedy.livejournal.com. This would be a free podcast that can be heard on Rant Radio and the Rant Media Empire. That's rantmedia.ca or .com or one of those. I think it's .ca. Rantradio.com. We are entirely the Rant Empire, affecting change globally. It's not just here. It's everywhere. Line noise? Do I have line noise? No? Okay. No? No line noise? Okay, I'm good. All right, should be all right. I had to make sure we had no line noise because I missed last week's show, as everyone knows about. Yes, I missed last week's show. But wait, I haven't gone through the radio stations yet. I always get, you know, you miss one show, you screw everything up. This is a free podcast. I'll be heard on Rant Radio, SRN1, Wild Bunch Radio, WNY Media Network, KJAG Radio, Pure Rock Radio, and, of course, Radio Red Mercury. Thank you very much to all of our hosts. If you would like to carry this program, you can. All you have to do is send in an email saying, hey, I'm carrying your program and I'm broadcasting from my Ford F-150 as I drive through town. That's fine. I'll say that because technically you're broadcasting. So anywhere this is broadcast, podcast, Comcast, hell, I don't care if you tie transcripts to pigeons. As long as the message gets out there, that's all that matters. So the big question, now that we've gotten through all the red tape at the beginning of the show, is, hey, Sean, you did one show in 2008, got the date wrong, and then you skipped out on the rest of the shows for the year. What the hell? Well, what happened was, is that we've had, like, this torrential downpour of rain in Vancouver last few weeks. I mean, it's, you know, David Duchovny, we didn't lie. David Duchovny said that, you know, the X-Files guy, he said that, you know, he didn't like all the rain in BC. And when it does rain, it rains a lot. We are technically a rainforest region, so, you know, hey, you know, no whining. So generally not whining, but we had one of our local BC monsoonage, and I got very monsunk. What happened is my house wound up springing a few leaks, and I'm like, oh my god, and I awakened, and my wife and I had to deal with this. It turned into like pretty much a 5-day nightmare. And the reason why it was a nightmare is because, number one, it sucks when your roof leaks. That's number one. But we'll skip all that. Just assume, you know, drywall damage and all that crap that goes along with it. Yes, avoid that. We're now going to discuss pain. What actually happened there was I was paralyzed. Well, I wasn't really. I was hurting. What happened was, is that, you see, when you get a bunch of people over and you get them to work for, say you have four friends that come over, okay, and you get them to work 8 hours apiece, well, that's like 32 hours a day plus yourself, so that's like 40 hours a day, so that's like 80 hours worth of work that you've got done in 2 days. And on the third day, if you have finishing ends that need to be tied up, but unless, let's see, the thing is I had to get these edges of this tarp kind of stapled down on my roof, otherwise the wind would pick up, grab the edges of the tarp, and tear the whole thing off. So this was, we got everything up there, everything was done, but I had to be all ninja and go up there and just finish stapling down the tarp. So I go, and of course it starts to snow. So I've got, you know, shiny black poly covering, you know, a pretty good grade, you know, 45 degree grade roof, which your rubber traction on any kind of tactical boot made by man is not going to get any kind of adherence to. So, like a tried and true coconut farmer, I took off my shoes and my socks, and I climb up the side of this building wearing tactical pants in the snow on poly. Now, this isn't what caused me problems. I was able to successfully negotiate the poly. It's while I was all kind of half gripping the roof with my toes and fingers and with the other hand in a staple gun, kind of wrapping around in some chiropractic wet dream, as I stapled poly to the underside of the roof, I felt a sudden snap, a ping, if as it were, a sudden pop, which told me that I was a fool. And the pain which cascaded through my body can only be described as angelic. It was absolutely unbelievable, this pain that, like a diamond bullet, went straight through my forehead. But you see, now the bitch of it is that I can't stop because I know I've done some damage now. But I got to get the roof on. Yes, that's true. The whole, mission over everything. Yes, priority of mission. I had to get the roof done. So I squeezed the little staple gunny thing. You know those things that look like staplers, but they're staple guns. I cranked off about another, 30 or 40 of those really fast. Like bang, 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 bang. And the pain became blinding, and I couldn't breathe, so I decided not to breathe. And then I realized that the reality of thundering in off my semi-snow-laden roof with my bare feet was, entirely very real. Like, I'm looking at, you're at that stage, for those of us who have done brave things like this and have decided to, wipe out, there is a point when you look over the edge of a large precipice and you go, hey, I'm going to fall. Where do I pick the softest piece of rock to land on? And you know what I'm talking about here. That's where I was with this. I'm like, I'm going over. Where am I going? I was able successfully, though, in typical WOG fashion, to navigate down the side of the roof, get myself to a flatter section of roof where I sat down and began to try to hyperventilate. I say try to because, well, every time you take a breath, your back spasms. So it's this weird ping pong between breathing and agony, which was great. So after a good 15 minutes, my dear friends decided it might be an idea to get me off the roof because it's not so funny. And my wife will be home soon. And if she sees them laughing at me on the roof, well, there'll be hell to pay. So they get me down. They get me inside. I wasn't allowed to move. And I played a little game with myself where I decided that I would not cry out whenever my back spasmed. And I lost often, very often. I would say 70% of the time I lost that game, the don't cry out when your back spasms game. It was horrible. It was absolutely horrible. I will pay people next time to do this because, well, there's people who make good money doing this, and now I know why. I mean, this is roofing is a horrible trade. This is why we need robots, okay? We need robots for the reasons I've described, so that people don't throw out their backs working on their roofs. That's really it. You know, if we had robots, we wouldn't have to kill slaves. You know, it'd be great. The pyramids could be built all with the power of robots. But, of course, with every good comes bad, and you wonder if the good outweighs the evil. But in my particular case, I was able to soldier on, get, fight through it, and I am fine, do not worry. Everything is cool on the home front, my back is back up, as is why I am now able to expand my lungs, fill them with air, and expel my spew onto the internet, which we call newsreel. So thank you very much for all your concerns. I wanted to give you a quick sit rep so you know what's going on. Now, you're probably wondering what the hell the intro was there, all 6 minutes of it. What that was is if you follow the end of line link on my live journal for the 28th, you'll see that connects you, and a big warning here, this is pretty graphic stuff, it connects you with some video footage of a bunch of gentlemen from Persia who are digging out a 155-millimeter round. Now, I believe they're Iraq militia who are working with coalition forces. So somebody fired in a 155-millimeter round. It buried itself in the sand, and they were trying to dig this thing out. And I guess it was like an IED or something. They say it was an IED. It would have to be because if it was a 155-millimeter round. It would. So they're removing this improvised munition, and it goes off. Now, the weird thing is, though, is that when you're watching, I mean, it's in a way it's graphic, in a way it's not, because they're there 1 second, pop, they're gone. You don't see any blood or guts or nothing. It's just wham, they're gone. There's like a 6-foot crater. But there's four guys working on it, and wham, they're gone, and I mean gone. And the official report comes back that only two militiamen were killed. And the other voices you hear are the people in the Spectre gunship saying, what the hell? No, there's four guys there, and those four guys got dusted. And believe you me, if you click on that link, there's no way, there is no freaking way that only two people died there. I mean, I think it was either four or five. Because I'm running on memory, actually watching the clip. But this is why, when I see something like that, this is the thing that motivates me to do newsreel. Because you see, everything is perceived reality, is achieved reality. They're trying to tell you that, it's only what you think, only what you perceive is the truth. And that's not necessarily the case. You can manipulate reality by manipulating perceptions, but you can't manipulate the truth. The truth is that more people died than what they said. But, as they begin to skew the numbers, what else are they lying about in the numbers? You know what I mean? So that they could keep political will where they want it to be for manipulation. It's very, very curious. Very, very curious. And this is exactly why the internet is very, very good at distributing information. And because of this, we're able to look at this and understand that if they're lying about this, what else are they lying about? And let's be real. Those gentlemen who went in there to try to remove IEDs to help coalition forces, I mean, they were heroes, really. I mean, they gave their lives trying to save strangers, really. I mean, they're worthy of note, to be sure. So, you know, it's important that we all seek the truth. That is the driving factor of all of this. But first, let's sort yourself out. I got to sort yourself out, which is good. I enjoy sort yourself out. Sort yourself out is the advice section of the show. So, dear Sean, I've decided to GTFO on Cov of California, which means get the funk out of California. I've lived here for a couple, well, may mean other things other than funk. I've lived here for a couple of years. I've decided I'm not into raising a family in this state. Okay, so he's got a family. So it's not just you, you got you and family. Okay, and I imagine your partner is all down with the sickness. She's good to go on this one, if it's a she. I've received offers for rewarding careers in my industry in three different states. I have already, three different states I've already chosen. Okay, so you got a trade, you're doing good. So his three choices are, number one, Colorado, building a manned space vehicle, think Apollo missions. Pretty cool job. Number two, Washington State, working in the commercial aircraft industry, think boring, I mean Boeing, right? So, you know. Number three, Arizona, working on cool military weapons, robots, UAVs, and missiles. I've got my own personal pros and cons east. I just appreciate a fresh set of opinions on each geographic location and technical venture. Okay, well, first of all, your criteria is all fucked up. It doesn't actually matter what your geographical location and technical venture is. And a lot of people are going to be like, what are you talking about, Sean? Well, see, but he's got a family. He's told me he's got a family here. Right? He's got a family he's got to look after. So there's a couple things you got to look at. If you're raising children, right, you're raising a family, that's what you told me here, you got children involved, right? So you want to look at each of the states and then say, well, which one's got the best school system, right? Which one has the lowest cost of living? You know what I mean? So this is really something that's going to be decided by math. If you wind up with a boring job, but, I mean, the pay is good and it's stable, let's hear it for stable, dot mil weapons and stuff like that, military contracts run out, and then what you do? Then you fuck, right? So you can't do that. And building manned space vehicles, Apollo missions and stuff like that, again, you're not going to be surprised that I'll be like, yeah, sure, I'll cut off three fingers to go do stuff like that, but you got other people involved here. If it's a solid job, then you want to go back to the money. You got to follow the money. It's not about you. It's not about you. It's totally got nothing to do with you. What it's got to do with is what's best for the family. That's your driving factor there. And that's a bitter pill to take, too, because let's say that, I mean, the obviously least preferred one here is Washington. I don't want to go to Washington because I don't want to work for Boeing. Well, okay, let's just say that Boeing paid more money and had the lowest cost of living because, I mean, money is everything. If you're living in one part of the country, it could be very, very expensive. In another part, you'd be making less money, but it works out to more money because your cost of living is lower, right? This is the kind of stuff I'm talking about as well. You know, there's crime rates. I mean, if you were to move to say, Colorado, let's go check. I don't know what the crime was like in Colorado. I mean, it's probably a nice place, I guess. I don't know. I mean, they're all kind of nice. Arizona's a nice place. Small towns are nice places. I mean, it's a good place to raise a family. So that would be my criteria. I would look at this and make a decision based upon what kind of what would be best for your children. You know, that would probably be my guiding factor. I've never been to Colorado. I've been to Washington State. I like Washington State because it's very much like BC, but, you know, that's no reason to like a place just because it's where from you're from, you know what I mean? And I like Arizona, too, you know, but I don't know enough about any one of these places to actually help you with a life-based decision like that. But I will tell you, if your priorities and your criteria for making this decision are not your children, then your priorities are all fucked up. Thank you very much. And that was a letter from, it's from Desert Camo. I've always been a classic guy myself, so that's why I like Desert Camo. Into the news. Gotta love news. In Cyborg News. And this was sent to me by Cybernetics with a really cool spelling and all that stuff. He sent me a couple stories this time. This is a really interesting story because as things are cybernizing and as technology is moving forwards, it's interesting the spin you see on stories. Okay, now check this out. Marine Lance Corporal Joshua Bleel. Now, I want you to understand that this Corporal Bleel here is, he's the shit. Okay, he's the man. Okay, so nothing am I going to say here in any way is related to Corporal Bleel. Corporal Bleel is a warrior, and that's it. Okay, that's where he's at. So he's totally removed from any political conversation here. But Buddy lost his legs here, above the knees, when a bomb exploded under his Humvee while on patrol in Iraq on October 15, 2006. He has 32 pins in his hip and a 6-inch screw holding his pelvis together. This guy got blowed up. Now he's starting to walk again with the help of prosthetic legs outfitted with Bluetooth technology, more commonly associated with hands-free cell phones. They're the latest and greatest, Bleel said, referring to his groundbreaking artificial legs. Bleel, 30, is one of two Iraq War veterans, both AA gang amputees, to use Bluetooth prosthetics. Computer chips in each leg send signals to motors and artificial joints. The knee and ankles move in a coordinated fashion. That's right, we're talking like independent joint movement on artificial legs. Bleel's set of prosthetics have Bluetooth receivers strapped to the ankle area. The Bluetooth devices are each leg tells the other leg what it's doing, how it's moving, whether walking, standing, or climbing steps, for example. They mimic each other, so for stride length, for amount of force coming up, going uphill, downhill, and such, they could vary in speed from when and well to stop them, Bleel told CNN from Walter Reed Medical Center, where he's undergoing rehab. I will put resistance on my own thigh muscles to slow them down so I can stop walking, which is always nice. Bluetooth is named for short-range wireless, blah, 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 blah. Older models of computer-controlled legs have to be programmed via wire laptops, blah, blah, blah. This is so awesome. Isn't this great? But the problem here is the dude's fucking legs are gone. All right, that's the problem here. Now, I understand, like, don't be, you know, don't sit there and say, Sean, I mean, come on, man, you can't. No. I'm glad this kid's getting the cybernetics and all this kind of stuff. It's just that this is turning into an ad for this kind of technology, and somehow, you know, because this kid lost his legs in a war that probably should not be going on right now, because, you know, there's some problems with some of the reasons on how the war started and stuff. I think that we're missing the point here, and we're being sold a bill of goods that's not so fucking great. You know what I mean? Like, come on. The kid goes, signs up to defend America, right? He's doing the army thing, all about that. Then they send him to Iraq and gets his legs blown off, and then he turns into a show pony for this new amputee research that they're doing. And I guess now we're going to see a lot of work done in amputee research, as I've said before on the show, because, hey, we got so many people losing legs. Shit, man, they're flying everywhere. We got wounded like you would not believe. Not to mention, you know, what is it, the 12 or 17 who kill themselves on practically a daily basis due to the psychological epidemic which is occurring from this war. You know, I would imagine this guy, this Bleel guy, he's been just formatted and reinstalled by the military-industrial complex. And you know what? God love the guy. You know, I mean, he's paid the price. Just give him his legs. Let him live with dignity. Don't turn him into a showpiece. But, you know, I guess it's good, right? I guess it's good because, I mean, you know, we have the ability to make prosthetics that kick ass, right? Who doesn't want a kick-ass prosthetic? But, I don't know, somehow the whole, I'm glad that they're making them, I'm glad that the bionics and cybernetics are moving up, but, you know, I'm in a state, in a case like this, I kind of, it just sort of leaves a bad taste in my mouth. I keep seeing war vets being used as guinea pigs, and it's starting to piss me off, more than a little bit. Now, for those of us out there who understand, you know, that, you know, to be a thinking human being, you probably think there's something kind of a little bit weird with 9/11. We're not going to go Alex Jones here because, I mean, Alex Jones is crazy, right? Everybody knows Alex Jones is crazy except for the Japanese. Scientists are working around the clock to figure out just what the fuck is wrong with Japan. Okay, well, apparently Japan, for all their tentacle porn and hentai, okay, they believe Alex Jones. Check this out. Japanese Prime Minister and main opposition rival clashed on January 9th, 2008, over a controversial naval mission in support of U.S.-led forces in Afghanistan as the ruling bloc prepared to force enabling law through parliament. Now, this is brutal stuff. I understand we're still talking about the war. First one, cybernetics, back to the war. Afghanistan, back to the war. The desert war, because we're in World War III right now, so, you know, hey, sorry, this is kind of pertinent. The Prime Minister, Yasuo Fukuda, squaring off in Parliament with Democratic Party leader Ichiro Ozawa for the first time since taking office, praised the Navy's refueling mission as helping the global war on television. Global war on television, if only. The global war on terrorism, and urged the opposition-controlled upper house to vote on it before Parliament ends on January 15th. So we're going to support the Navy. We're going to do all this stuff. We think it's a good idea. Okay, so this is happening in Japanese Parliament now. This is the Ozawa insists the refueling mission violates Japan's pacifist constitution, has not been approved formally by the United Nations, position Fukuda flatly rejected. Ozawa's Japan Democratic Party, which is the opposition, tried to block the resumption of the mission, which supplies fuel to the U.S.-led forces waiting and operating in the Indian Ocean. So give them gas, don't give them gas, give them gas, don't give them gas. He claims that the oil supplies by the Japanese ships has been diverted to use in operations in Iraq, and accusations the Americans deny. You're not using the oil for Afghanistan, you're using it for Iraq. On January 11th, 2008, the opposition-controlled upper house voted down the bill to restart the mission to refuel U.S. and other ships patrolling Indian Ocean Member of Parliament. Interesting. On January 11th, the opposition-controlled upper house voted down the bill to restart the mission to refuel the U.S. and other ships patrolling the Indian Ocean. The member of parliament, Yoshiga Fujita, this guy's got awesome names, of the Japan Democratic Party made a 20-minute long statement at the House of Councilors. Now, this is where it's getting good. Stick with me, okay? So, the big debate going on in the Japanese House. And all of a sudden, Buddy goes on this 20-minute rampage in Japanese parliament now at the House of Councilors, the upper house of the Diet of Japan, ahead of voting. He questioned the official version of 9/11 presented to the Japanese government and to the public by the U.S. administration in a session of the Defense Commission. He asked the current Prime Minister Fujita, who was the Chief Cabinet Secretary under Kazuma Cabinet 2001, how could terrorists attack the Pentagon? Mr. Yoshiko Fujita stressed that 24 people that had died on 9/11, only 13 were identified, and 11 bodies remain unaccounted for. He pointed out that there was never an official police investigation into the deaths of these Japanese nationals. He asked whether terrorism is crime or war. Some Japanese people were killed, so he believed it was a crime and the Japanese police should investigate real suspects. The Japanese government assumed the suspect was Al-Qaeda because Bush told them. British Prime Minister Koizumi in 2001, after the attacks of 9/11 had happened, and later did send the self-defense force to Iraq, too, based on that assumption. So it goes on to talk about how, if you read it there, and there's video and there's subtitles of the whole thing. And I highly advise going to that link and checking that out, because it seems like the house of cards of just surrounding 9/11, which, I mean, the horse will be beaten. You know, I'm not going to read the entire thing to you because it has a transcript, and it explains that people around the world are starting to, you know, pull the wool off the eyes and recognize that something's wrong with 9/11. Something is wrong with 9/11. Okay, some shit is not adding up. I don't know if Alex is totally right, but Alex doesn't have to be totally right. All we have to know is that the government is lying to us, which you got proof of at the beginning of the show, you know, and then you realize that, oh, everything's just kind of fucked up. The solution, of course, is more technology, but we have to be careful with the technology. We have to make sure that we understand how the technology could be used for and against us. I like tech. Even when it's used, and even when we progress technology by exploiting the blood of our children in a foreign war, I understand that. But generally, I think tech is a good thing. I am concerned about when it could be, used badly. For example, in bioweapon news, sent to me by Renegade Rabbit, when our robotic overlords finally do take over. Now, I will state, this site is where I got this from. They're pretty seriously, well, they're presenting a field of view that, I'll just read this. But I think they're biased, is all I'm saying. When our robotic overlords finally do take over, there's a decent chance they'll do it with monkey brains. What? A few years back, Duke Neuroscientist, funded by the Pentagon, figured out how to have monkeys control robotic arms with their little simian minds. Now, if that wasn't unnerving enough, the same Duke crew has discovered a way for one of the monkeys. Now, you remember when I reported on the arm thing, right? You know that. But he made a way for one of the monkeys make a 200-pound, 5-foot humanoid robot walk on a treadmill using only the brain activity, the New York Times reports. How far away are we from the ultimate sci-fi dystopia, Terminator and Planet of the Apes, at the same time? Interesting. Combat applications for bioweapon cyborgs. And did we mention that these same researchers recently took out a patent on mind-controlled weapons? In preparing for an experiment, Idoa, which is the name of the monkey cyborg, was trained to walk upright on a treadmill. She held onto a bar with her hands and got treats, raisins, and Cheerios. Because, you know, who doesn't like Cheerios? As well, she walked at different speeds, forward and backward, for 15 minutes a day, 3 days a week, for 2 months. Meanwhile, electrodes implanted in the so-called leg area of Idola's brain recorded the activity from 250 to 300 neurons that fired when she walked. Some of the neurons became active when her ankle knee and joint moves, blah, 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 blah. So they wire the monkey up. And then they essentially captured some video movements. They translate the whole thing over. And, they're able to On Thursday, alert and ready to work, it stepped onto her treadmill, began walking at a steady pace with her electrodes implanted in her brain. Her walking pattern, brain signals were collected, fed to a computer, and transmitted over high-speed internet link to a robot in Kyoto, Japan. So we got monkeys being trained how to use legs. Now, again, this is perhaps one of the gauntlets we'll have to run through in order to have complete bionic Borg conversion. And that's a totally different kettle of fish. Like, is that a good idea? Is that a good idea to, you know, do a complete brain transfer into a machine? You know, are you even human anymore? I mean, these are huge ethics questions. So, you know, I personally now, if I'm at the end of my cycle and it's either the great darkness or I go into the machine, I'm going into a machine. Okay, that's how that works. But I'd be interested on what you think about that, whether or not you think doing this and or should humans die? Should we be a finite spite? Should we just be a spark and run the whole, you know, Blade Runner thing where we, programmed life expectancy, or should we carry on? The article continues. Military scientists have tried all different combinations of animal and machine. Cyborg pigeons, radio-controlled rats, steerable shark spies. The Duke experiments are the first steps towards a brain-machine interface that might permit paralyzed people to walk by directing devices with their thoughts. Now, I think that's a good thing. According to the Times, electrodes of the person's brain would send signals to a device worn on the hip, like a cell phone or a pager, or Bluetooth, for example, that would then relay those signals to a pair of braces, kind of an external exoskeleton worn on the legs. When a person thinks about walking, walking happens. No lie. All kinds of research and military departments are working on similar efforts to move towards thought-controlled exoskeletons and prosthetics. Notice, too, the robot in this experiment was built by the exoskeleton maker, Sarcos. Hey, the good people at Sarcos bringing good mecha to life. Personally, I'm a big fan of Sarcos because they were the first people to actually bring me power armor. So that, you know, that adverts, even though, yes, okay, you're experimenting on monkeys. I understand that. I'd rather have you experiment on monkeys than soldiers. So I can't really start off the show with the soldier crying bitch that I made and then rip on these guys for working on monkeys. And after all, hey, can't make an omelet without breaking eggs. So, yes, we got some monkeys, we stuck some wires in their head, and we're figuring out a way to do full board conversion. This is just how it is. And if we're not willing to do this, you can guarantee that other people are. We wouldn't want to get into a cyborg gap. Then the Russians will be doing it, and we won't have it. And soon the Russians will have giant red armor that will, like, take over. Well, you know, I'm totally speculating now, but that's the science fiction guy in me. In Decker News! Here's another story. Now, I don't know how likely this is. This was sent in to me by Hatter of Madness. Deckers, of course, are the, not from Blade Runner, which, of course, the new release is out. No, I'm talking about the Deckers who are hackers. Those evil hackers. Remember hackers? Urgh! They're evil. Well, actually, they're not. They're just people who know how to do code. But anyway, in Decker News, which is, you know, the Shadowrun world which we live in, which is more and more happening. I mean, we got privatized military, privatized intelligence. Hell, we got power armor, full bore conversion. We're like 10 years away from rifts, man. But anyway, in Decker News, criminals have been able to hack into computer systems via the internet and cut power to several cities. What? A U.S. Central Intelligence Agency analyst said this week. So the CIA said that hackers shut down power to some cities. No, I don't know if I believe that. Speaking at a conference for security professionals on Wednesday, CIA analyst Tom Donahue disclosed the recently declassified attacks while offering few specifics on what actually went wrong. Criminals have launched an online attack that disrupted power equipment in several regions outside the U.S. He said, without identifying the countries, the goal of the attacks was extortion. Now, I've heard of stuff like that going against casino sites. Hey, we got this. We're going to shut your site down. You don't give us X amount of dollars. We're going to do that. I've seen that. I've seen it firsthand. I've seen it in my work. But, you know, I don't know. Cutting off power? We have information from multiple regions outside the United States of cyber intrusions into our utilities followed by extortion demands. He said in a statement posted on the web Friday by the conference organizers of the SANS Institute. The SANS Institute, I know one guy who works down there. I'm in at least one case, a disruption caused a power outage affecting multiple cities. We do not know who executed these attacks or why, but all involved intrusions through the internet. I wonder if this is true, because, I mean, maybe the guy's telling the truth. You know, hey, there's probably there's a lot of crazy shit going on in Russia right now. I know there's a lot of hackers in Russia who'd be loving, like, and there's no moral compunction to this at all. So Maybe it's true. According to Mr. Donahue, the CIA actively and thoroughly considered the benefits and risks of making information public and came down on the side of disclosure, Sands said in the statement. So, should we tell the public or not? Well, we should come down on the side of disclosure because probably we'll be able to use it to vilify the internet later. One conference attendee said the disclosure came as news to many of the government and industry security professionals in attendance. It appears there are a lot of people who didn't know this already, said the attendee, who asked not to be identified because he's not authorized to speak to the press. He confirmed Sands' report of the talk. There were apparently a couple of incidents where extortionists cut off power to several cities using some sort of attack on the power grid, but does not appear to be a physical attack. Well, I'm sorry, if you're cutting off the power to a city, that would be a physical attack. That's a very real problem. Hacking the power grid made front-page headlines in September when CNN aired a video showing an Idaho National Laboratory demonstration of a software attack on the computer system used to control a power generator. In the demonstration, the smoking generator was rendered inoperable. Yeah, but, I mean, if you destroy it, that's not really taking it hostage, right? You'd have to prove the proof of concept. And besides, let's be real, you can unplug things. I mean, just because something's plugged into the internet doesn't mean it has to stay plugged into the internet. You know, I don't know. The whole story sounds a little bit weird to me. Just a bit strange. On Thursday, the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, FERC, good acronym, approved a new mandatory standard designed to improve cybersecurity. CISA representatives could not be reached for an immediate comment. Maybe this guy's nuts and he's bonking out the tree, but I don't really think power is so tightly tied to the internet, is it? I mean, you know, that just doesn't seem... Well, why would you need that? I mean, for monitoring, okay, you can turn off my monitors so I can't see my graphs, but why would you hook the generators to the internet? That doesn't even make sense. I mean, if only for security reasons. My God, what are you thinking? Now, in pharma fascism news, now, as we all know, I'm not... I suppose I should make a statement on this. Yes, the anonymous guys. They're attacking Scientology. And I'm not talking about that because, well, as we all know, Scientology is crazy and evil. So if they're taking them out, great. But I was talking about Scientology like 5 years ago when nobody knew about Scientology. So we're going to just move on past that. Yes, Scientology is finally getting the targeting coats. It's comeuppance. It's just desserts. Hoorah. Hooray for the good guys. So we are making a difference out there. But now our new target... I mean, we'll let these people go in and mop up on Scientology. But the new guys that we got to watch for is, of course, pharma fascism. If you've just tuned into the show, pharma fascism is the pharmacology or pharmacom or the pharmacological companies, the drug companies, Pfizer, those kind of guys, okay, who are, you know, using millions and billions of dollars worth of research and funding to try to pair up with the Psychiatric Association and essentially drug out all of America so that we turn into chemically castrated zombies. This is sort of the idea. And this makes it a lot easier to pass, like, crazy fucking laws, like the Patriot Act and whatnot, and they're going to accomplish this by pharma fascism. It's a pretty catchy phrase. Made it up myself. Thanks. Now, in Boston, this is according to Reuters now. This is quite a startling report, but you're not going to see... This is not going to get any play on any news network, so that's why you're listening to Newsreel. Nearly a third of antidepressant drug studies are never published in the medical literature, and nearly all happen to show that the drug tested did not work. Wow. Interesting. Why are they not showing drug tests that are negative? Interesting. In some of the studies that are published, unfavorable results have been recast to make the medicine appear more effective than it really is. Again, perception controlling reality. Said the research team led by Eric Turner and the Oregon Health at the Oregon Health and Science University. Even if not deliberate, this can be bad news for patients, they wrote in their report published in the New England Journal of Medicine. So, you know, kind of got some respectability on the go here. The NEJM there, I mean, that's a pretty good publication. Selective publications can lead doctors to make inappropriate prescribing decisions that may not be in the best interest of their patients, and thus the public health, they wrote. Which, of course, they wrote that because they're doctors, and I think they're the only people who use the term thus outside of the WOG culture. The idea that unfavorable test results are quietly tucked away so nobody will see them, sometimes called the file drawer effect, has been around for years, which, of course, everybody knows it goes in the file drawer. The Turner team used a U.S. Food and Drug Administration registry in which companies are supposed to log details of the drug test before the experiments are begun. tells you where they placed their bets before they saw the data, Turner said in a telephone interview. Of the 74 studies that started for 12 antidepressants, 38 produced positive results for the drug. All but one of those studies were published. Interesting. However, only three of the 36 studies with negative or question results, as assured the FDA, were published, and another 11 were written as if the drug had worked. Whoa! So these are the ones that were like, so out of 74, 38 of them did something. One of them was published as is. 36 studies with negative or question results were published, and another 11 were rewritten as if the drug had worked. So they rewrote the study. So they're lying. Again, doesn't matter whether or not we believe that Sean's, oh, you're crazy, Sean. You're crazy about this pharma fascism thing. That's nutty. Yes, okay. Well, you don't have to believe that. All you have to believe is that the medical industry is lying to you. If the studies come back that it was not working and they rewrite them so that it is working, that's called a lie. Okay, again, perception controlling reality. Just sort of a personal guideline here. So, again, what, for example, of the seven negative studies done on GlaxoSmithKline's Paxil, five were never published. The researchers found that three studies for GSA's Wetburn SR, but the two negative ones were never reached print. Now, I understand that there's people out there who need to have these drugs. I understand that. But perhaps there's something more natural you can go with. There are five studies for Pfizer's Zoloft. The three showing the drug to be ineffective were never published. A fourth study, ruled questionable by the FDA, was written and published to make it appear as though the drug worked. A Glaxo spokeswoman said the company posts data from all of its trials, positive or negative, on the internet, which is bullshit. GlaxoSmithKline agrees to public disclosure of clinical trial results for marked medicines and essential and, clinical trials for and results for marketed medicines is essential and fully supports registration of all trials in progress, she said. Of course. Because that's her job. She went to school. She went to university for years to learn how to lie. I mean, that's what you're doing. I mean, if you're in an HR role like that, and you're working for GlaxoSmithKline, and you're talking to the public and the internet, and everything you say is going out there, you can guarantee she's had official training in how to lie to the public. Pfizer is committed to the communication of results of all registered clinical studies, regardless of outcome. More specifically, we've committed to disclose clinical trial results within 1 year after a study's completion for all of our marketed products, Pfizer spokesman Jack Cox said in an email. Well, Mr. Cox, I don't know if I buy that shit. Because we'd have to go to Africa to talk about some of your ethics and some of your drug trials. We'd have to do that. But I'm sure you probably don't want to go to Africa to talk about drug trials because, well, you know, there's mass graves and shit like that going on down there. Yeah. So, again, okay, fine. You don't believe in the pharma fascism thing. You don't believe that we're all being turned into chemically castrated zombies. That's fine. But what you do have to recognize here is by, you know, this article, which I'm telling you about, and which you can go check out and back check, and this is in the New England Journal of Medicine, they're fucking lying to you, okay? They're totally lying to you about what these drugs are for and what they do. And furthermore, once you determine that they're lying on that one little piece, I mean, then the whole thing is a house of cards. You've got to assume that the data has been manipulated right down the wire. And if you look at the people who are on these drugs, who've been on these drugs for quite some time, they can't get off. Because they're roped in like a bad cell phone contract, and if they try to dance off, oh, suddenly they're off their medication, and they cease to even be human beings. Their rights go out the window, they're picked up, tasered, thrown in paddy wagons. Thanks, you get yourself a canvas hug-me coat, and two tickets to the white-walled soft linen hotel. Not so good. And we're going to be seeing more and more of that as a method, no doubt, to keep people in line. You know, are they crazy? Two pinks and a blue in Canada, and you are locked the fuck up. So, you know, something to be aware of. Maybe it's a good idea to start going to church. Just so you've got a few witnesses who can say, hey, he's not crazy, he was in church. Which is kind of ironic that that's, you know, would be your alibi. But, you know, I'm just saying, cover your ass, okay? Maybe make sure you're listening to Newsreel on headphones, okay? Just put it on headphones, guys. Now, here's some stuff right now. If you go to the Live Journal, posted on the page is a contact lens with, this is unbelievable. It's on, I believe it's either a cat or a rabbit. But this is unbelievable. It's a contact lens display screen. Movie characters from the Terminator to the Bionic Woman use bionic eyes to zoom in on far-off scenes and have, in fact, have useful facts popped into their field of view, create a virtual crosshairs. Off-screen virtual displays have been proposed for more practical purposes, visual aids to help the vision impaired, holographic driving control for panels, and even as a way to surf the web on the go. The device to make this happen may be familiar. Engineers at the University of Washington, nice place, have for the first time used manufacturing techniques at microscopic scales to combine a flexible, biologically safe contact lens with an imprinted electronic circuit and lights on the lens, on the contact lens itself. Looking through a completed lens, you will see what the display is generating superimposed on the outside world. Okay, contact lens, that's a micro display, said Babak Parviz, a UW assistant professor of electrical engineering. There is a very small step towards that goal, but I think it's extremely promising. The results were presented today at the Institute of Electrical and Electronics Engineers International Conference on Micro-Electromechanical Systems by Harvey Ho, former graduate student of Parviz, is now working at the Sandia National Laboratories in Livermore, California. Other authors are Eshan Sajiz and Samuel Kim in the UW's Electronic Engineering Department and Cheung Shun in the UW Medical Center's Ophthalmology Department. There are many possible uses for virtual displays. Drivers or pilots could see a vehicle's speed projected onto the windshield. The entire augmented reality thing. Video game companies could use the contact lens to completely immerse players in a virtual world without restricting the range of motion. And for communications, people could go and surf the internet in midair. Virtual display screens that only they would be able to see. You could do the entire augmented reality thing. I mean, this is some staggering shit right here. People may find all sorts of applications for it we have not thought about. Yeah, porn? Our goal is to demonstrate the basic technology to make sure it works and is safe. Let me get this straight now. I put in these contacts, and I've got Sylvia Saint wandering around with me in my house, and nobody else can see her but me, and she's like my PDA assistant. I have literally an imaginary friend. When your Tamagotchi becomes Max Headroom, becomes a holographic projection in augmented reality, I'm sorry, but at some point you have to go, whoa, dude, too much role-playing game mission creep going on in my future. The prototype device contains electric circuit as well as a red light emitting diode for display, though it does not yet light up. Ah, so we have some vapor there. The lenses were tested on rabbits for up to 20 minutes, and the animals showed no adverse effects other than the fact they were being pissed off they had something in their eye. Rabbits. The blood-stained rabbits. Ideally, installing or removing the bionic eye would be as easy as popping in a contact lens in or out, and once installed, the wearer would barely know the gadget was there. This is what Parviz says. Building on the lens is a challenge because materials that are safe to use in the body, such as flexible organic materials used in contact lenses, are delicate. Manufacturing electrical circuits, however, involves inorganic materials, scorching temperatures, and toxic chemicals. Researchers built the circuit from layers of metal only a few nanometers thick, about 1,000th of the width of a human hair, and constructed a light-emitting diode 1/3 of a millimeter across. They then sprinkled the grayish powder of electrical components onto a sheet of flexible plastic. The shape of each tiny component dictates which piece it can attach to. The microfabrication technique is known as self-assembly. Capillary forces, the same type of force that makes water move up a plant's roots, that cause the edges of a glass of the water to curve upward to pull the pieces into position. This is some high-tech Blade Runner shit right here. The prototype contact lens does not correct the wearer's vision. Oh, but the technique could be based on a corrective lens, and all the gadgetry won't obstruct a person's view. So now you have the HUD. Welcome to the this is literally actually a perfect rendition of what this thing does. If you watch the first Terminator film, this is what this piece of kit does. In red, because in the first film, that's all they had. There's a large area outside the transparent part of the eye, which can use for placing instrumentation. Not to mention, how unbelievably fucking cool is that? I mean, I take off my mirror shades, which I have an excuse to wear all the time now, and I've got wiring in my eyes, enabling me to interact with avatars in my augmented reality. May server protect us all. Okay, just, you know, just to keep the dipstick on the future. That's what we're dealing with. Yeah, so today's Daily Hacked is 50 applications you can put on your USB drive, which is always good. If you're not running on thumb drives these days, this is the way to go. And your Recomedia, of course, is some information on the South African border wars. Because don't forget, although Iraq and the Middle East is a mess right now, nobody can remember a time when Africa wasn't messed up. And that's all I got for you today, but don't worry, I'll be back next week to make sure you get the news you need to survive. Back is good, all is well, in the pipe, 5x5. This has been a free podcast brought to you by the Wogs Who Care. And if you cannot donate, please do distribute. Give the show away. But if you can donate, or incidentally, if you can distribute it, let people know to carry the show, to broadcast the show. Try to get it on, and anybody who's doing any kind of broadcasting, there's no royalties, just spread the word. If you can donate, please do so by going to the Dark Atlas website, click on the Donate tab, the top right hunt link, or send an envelope to Rant Media Studios, Box 18121, 1215C, 56th Street, Delta, BC, Canada, V4M2M4. If you want, you can go buy a copy of my book, Scab Wings of Abaddon, although it's a hard occult noir horror novel and has absolutely nothing to do with this show. But that's something else that we sell. I wanted to thank the Army of Flying Monkeys for their assistance in gathering data. Long may you fly, and I hope your brains are never cut out of your head to make robots. If you have information that you would like to send me, you can reach me at newsreel, N-E-W-S-R-E-A-L, at rantradio.com. And if you like the music in the background, please do check out some Goa Psytrance, because who doesn't like that? And I'm going to fade out now with a track from Johnny Cash. When the Man Comes Around, because that's really the only kind of story you could follow with the news stories of today. Remember, everyone, we will never defeat the enemy if we are at each other's throats. So until next time, that's what Server said. End of line.
And I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder. One of the four beasts saying, "Come and see." And I saw, and behold, a white horse.
There's a man going round taking names, and he decides who to free and who to blame. Everybody won't be treated all the same. There'll be a golden ladder reaching down when the man comes around. The hairs on your arm will stand up at the terror in each sip and in each sup. Will you partake of that last offered cup, or disappear into the potter's ground when the man comes around? Hear the trumpets, hear the pipers, 100 million angels singing. Multitudes are marching to the big kettle drum. Voices calling, voices crying. Some are born and some are dying. It's Alpha and Omega's kingdom come. And the whirlwind is in the thorn tree. The virgins are all trimming their wicks. The whirlwind is in the thorn tree. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Till Armageddon, no shalom, no shalom. Then the father hen will call his chickens home. The wise men will bow down before the throne. And at his feet they'll cast their golden crowns when the man comes around. Whoever is unjust, let him be unjust still. Whoever is righteous, let him be righteous still. Whoever is filthy, let him be filthy still. Listen to the words long written down when the man comes around. Hear the trumpets, hear the pipers, 100 million angels singing. multitudes are marching to the big kettle drum. Voices calling, voices crying. Some are born and some are dying. It's Alpha and Omega's kingdom come. And the whirlwind is in the thorn tree. The virgins are all trimming their wicks. The whirlwind is in the thorn tree. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. In measured hundredweight and penny pound, when the man comes around.
And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts, and I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death, and Hell followed with him.